Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with Blue Link Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading Blue Link Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and Blue Link Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening and locked in all over North America. People on the way home, people on their way to work, people doing things they got no business doing, people making money, people hanging out with their families, people sick of their people that they got to work with. If you had a bad day, I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. Whoever ticked you off today, forget them. You're hanging out with me now. I'm going to be here for the next 3 hours. It's a four-hour show. I get started every weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey's holding it down for us in New York. If you missed a minute of the show, we've already been hanging out for an hour. You can hit rewind on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Miss a minute, don't miss a second. Thank you to everybody tuned in on their local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158. All my folks who got the Sirius in their car, they're paying for it. Good for you. And if you got a smart speaker, you don't got to press nothing, tap nothing, download nothing. Just ask the smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Ryan, should I give one of these, what do you call them, like an on-air demonstration? Should I try?
Yeah, come on. Let's do it.
Let's see if it works. Hey, Siri, play CBS Sports Radio.
A lot of silence so far.
Oh, it's my audio is light. It's playing it, but I had to turn
All right,
it
there we go. So it's working.
It worked. I'm a good on-air host. I actually keep my phone on low. And so that way, otherwise, a stupid thing would be going off all the damn time. Anyway, ask your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much last hour for joining us. Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood came through, covers all things Packers for USA Today. We had an opportunity to listen to the press conference, a little bit of Mike McCarthy. We just heard some words from Mike Tomlin. As we continue on with the show in a few minutes, I do want to talk to you about Brock Purdy, since we took some time to talk about Jordan Love. I want to allow you to hear just a ridiculous question, one of the most ridiculous questions asked at an NFL press conference. I want to think about taunting in the world of sports. Last night, Texas and Central Florida played, and let's just say the head coach of Texas, Rodney Terry, wasn't happy with UCF and some of their hand gestures. We're going to get into a lot, okay? We got the Lions coming up. We found out some of the other musicians who are going to play at the Super Bowl. So a lot to do. Let's take a quick recap from the coaches who spoke today. Mike McCarthy, who ultimately kept his job, and Mike Tomlin, who revealed today that he expects to receive a contract extension at some point here in the offseason. But the striking differences between two coaches drive me insane, at least if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to play for you two clips, one from Mike Tomlin and then one from Mike McCarthy. And I want to know if you can tell maybe the difference in their thought process or philosophy. Let's start with Mike McCarthy, who, when asked about the future and the Dallas Cowboys and how they operate as an organization, he basically said, you know, that there might be levels to being a championship team. Listen to this.
My message would be this. We have established a championship program. It's just not the world championship yet. We know how to win. We know how to train to win. We have the right people, but we have not crossed the threshold of winning playoff games. And it's extremely disappointing to be sitting here talking about it. But I know how to win. And we will get over that threshold. I have total confidence in it, and that's why I'm standing here today.
Oh, they know how to win. There's levels to this winning. Okay, they're a championship team. They just haven't won a championship yet. I get it. Sounds stupid to me. I can't describe it in any other way. And then I want you to listen to Mike Tomlin, who in a lot of cases can be kind of curt, short, and to the point. He's the opposite. There are no levels to this, especially when you suck after you lose.
It all sucks. It does. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Oh. They need to play that for Mike McCarthy. They should play that for him. Maybe Mike McCarthy will learn something. Anyway, those teams suck. The Steelers got to think about their quarterback. The Dallas Cowboys got to think about everything. I think they screwed up by keeping Mike McCarthy. But let's talk about a team that's actually in the postseason. Let's talk about a team that did not play in the wild card round because they secured themselves a bye by being the number one overall seed in the NFC. That's the San Francisco 49ers, one of the highest scoring teams in the NFL, led by some dude named Christian McCaffrey, bandied about throughout the course of the year as someone who would be eligible, not even eligible, someone who would be favored to go out there and win an MVP. You have a Deebo Samuel on the team. You have a Kittle on the team. They got weapons, man. And then you got this Brock Purdy dude who, is he still Mr. Irrelevant? I don't think so. Not after you come back in your second year or your first full year. You throw for 4,300 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Brock Purdy's name was thrown about as an MVP candidate. Brock Purdy is only 24 years old. Brock Purdy is younger than Jordan Love. And now he's going to have an opportunity to oppose Jordan Love on Saturday night. The 49ers playing their first playoff game this season. 49ers playing their first chance, at least for Brock Purdy, his first playoff game since he tore that ligament in his elbow in the NFC Championship game. That was an ugly watch for 3 hours. 49ers losing 31-7 to the Eagles as the 49ers had to start pulling quarterbacks out of the stands. This is very important. Brock Purdy, knowing how last year ended, and what this year means, he says he feels so much better about himself heading into this game.
I feel like it's a little different, you know, just last year, you know, still trying to find my way in a sense. I got thrown in towards the end of the year, and so every single week I was, you know, still trying to play good and learn, you know, who I was as a quarterback and obviously get more familiar with playing within the system. So those are all things that were sort of on my plate last year, and then obviously trying to win every single week and get this team to the end. And so now, I guess this year, just being more familiar with the offense, who I am, and all that, it's a little different. But it's good to sort of, you know, watch the games from last year and sort of remember, you know, just the feeling and the emotions of, you know, playing in a playoff game. It's good. It's you know, huge for me as a quarterback to, you know, go back to those moments and sort of remember what it feels like. So those are things that I'm sort of banking on.
Man, we were robbed last offseason. Not last offseason, excuse me. We were robbed last playoffs to have to sit through that NFC Championship game. Where it's like, wait a minute, Brock Purdy can't even grip the ball. He can't throw the ball. And then he went out there, they got him flipping the ball and trying to throw it with the other hand. The man could not play. That was 3 hours of me going, when is this going to be over? Let's just put the damn Eagles in the Super Bowl and let's keep it rolling. And we never know what will be. And so the 49ers, I believe that they'll beat the Packers. I got no shame in saying it. Let's see if they get that second chance and that second opportunity. You know, Brock Purdy, yeah, he was discussed as an NFL MVP throughout the course of the year. And the only time that I would really say that he or the team faced adversity was when they went on that 3-game losing streak around Halloween. Losing to the Cleveland Browns, one of the best defenses in the NFL. Losing to the Minnesota Vikings. This is pre-Kirk Cousins going down. And then losing to the Cincinnati Bengals. People looked at Brock Purdy and said, uh-oh, this man is starting to throw interceptions in bunches. The man finished with 31 touchdowns to 11 interceptions following that 3-game losing streak. They went on to go on a 6-game winning streak. 49 is a badass. If I got to look at the Super Bowl, I got a full expectation. If I got to look at the odds, it would favor the number one seeds. It would favor the 49ers and the Ravens. We got plenty of time to talk about the Ravens today and tomorrow. I'll tell you this, though. People are kind of quiet on Brock Purdy. I guess there's an expectation that he just falls apart. I mean, there's a dude who just got traded to the team back in November who already thinks highly of Brock Purdy, and this man makes a living by chasing down quarterbacks. This is Chase Young. Listen to what he had to say about Brock.
Brock, that dude, man. Probably the nicest guy in the locker room. Confident guy. You know, I feel like most confidence guys know how to keep their composure. So I feel like that just comes naturally for him. And, you know, I feel like, you know, being a quarterback growing up your whole life, it's just your composure gets better, you know what I feel me, as you rep out of the position. So, I mean, best quarterback in the league, happy he's on my team.
Yeah, well, I know where he's happy he is. I know he's happy he's no longer on the Commanders. I know that much. What's it going to take for Brock Purdy to get some love? Does Brock Purdy ultimately have to just flat win the Super Bowl? Does Brock Purdy have to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, this dude is still playing on a contract right now that is only worth $3 million. That's it. $3 million. If I got to think about the 49ers, let's remember why Brock Purdy is playing right now. Jimmy Garoppolo, well, what else is new? Jimmy Garoppolo, he gone. Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. He didn't even really play this year because they didn't want him. He got hurt again, with the Raiders, I should say. Trey Lance is gone. Trey Lance got hurt, blew out his ankle, had his ankle torn to shreds to start the season early on. And he's on the Dallas Cowboys right now. And so now Brock Purdy is the last dude standing. 24 years old, and he's better than both of them. And he was the last dude selected in the 2022 draft. He's basically still fresh out of the NFL womb. And there's a lot of folks who look at Brock Purdy and say, it's very simple. Look at all the talent that Brock Purdy plays with. Look at everybody that helps him out. The Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the few wide receivers slash running backs slash wide receivers. I think we've only had four in NFL history to walk away with 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing. Look at that giant wide receiver and blocker in George Kittle. Look at that big bully over there in Brandon Ayuk. Look at the Swiss Army knife also of a Deebo Samuel. Look at Trent Williams, the body slammer. Should be easy for Brock Purdy, right? Should be. But have you seen some of these other quarterbacks in the NFL play? You know, sometimes you gotta use a little common sense. You gotta be smart sometimes. You have to look at the quarterback and what he does individually. You have to look at the quarterback and the throws that he makes. You gotta look at the quarterback and how he carries himself. It's not always about the talent surrounding you. The talent surrounding you doesn't always or just inherently make you better. Brock Purdy is good. Yes. if we dropped Brock Purdy onto the Steelers, or we took Brock Purdy and said, hey, play for the Panthers, he'd suck. Correct, he would. Wouldn't stand a chance. If we put him on the Jets, he'd also be ass. And so, yes, he plays with a great team that's allowed him to be better, but you can't take away from his own talent and what he's done. This is not plug and play. I don't think you would take Kenny Pickett and drop him in. I don't think the 49ers would be as good. I don't think you would take a Bryce Young from the Panthers and drop him in. I don't think the 49ers would be as good. And that's a testament to Brock Purdy's own talent. Jordan Love, I think we got an answer on him. Playing with young players, young team. We talked about this last hour. It's impressive when you do it with the youngsters. Brock Purdy doesn't get the love because he's doing with established veteran offensive weapons and pro bowlers and freaks. You got to give this dude his just due, because everybody in his position wouldn't be able to put up the numbers he's putting up. I'm very interested to see how far he goes, how far he can take the 49ers, because if you look at him, he ain't just no game manager out there. Dude is throwing the rock. He got a lot of responsibility, and he got a lot of pressure from a veteran group to lead them to the promised land. Because this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. The quarterback is the most important dude on the team. We are so far gone from the running back being the centerpiece. Run the ball, run it down somebody's throat. No. You got to have a quarterback who can throw the rock. Let's see how much he's tested. I think by the time we get to an NFC championship game, I believe we'll be looking at the Detroit Lions taking on the San Francisco 49ers. And let's see if Brock Purdy's elbow can hold up in that game. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. In order for Brock Purdy to move on, he has to get past these Green Bay Packers. And in order for the Lions to move on, they have to get past the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, if you haven't noticed, they have to travel to Detroit to play this game. If you know anything about geography or weather, Detroit can be cold. How are the warm weather Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to conquer the cold weather Detroit Lions? That's also a question that was posed to Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles had a very interesting answer and response. I'm going to share that with you on the other side of the break. Unfortunately, we have to share with you news that has affected the NBA community regarding a coach. We're going to talk about taunting and what is the line between taunting and being classless. We're going to take a look at those Detroit Lions who will be hosting the warm weather Buccaneers. We got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, there's somebody who knows a thing or two about a championship. It's what everybody is going for right now, right? Niners trying to win a championship. Lions trying to win a championship. I'd say those are your favorites out of the NFC. Good luck to the Packers if they could keep on rolling, if they could keep on moving, and then, you know, this is a team that who would have expected them to win a championship? Who expected them to be in this spot? It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? They just beat the hell out of the Eagles 32-9, embarrassing them. Embarrassing. And now they got the Lions coming up next. And I told you this last break. I think, as most of us know, you go up into the Midwest, it does a thing. It snows. It gets cold. Bone-chilling cold. Detroit, one of the coldest damn places in this country on any given day, especially, yes, of course, in the winter. And so when you think about this matchup in this game, how about this right now in Detroit? Says that it's 26 degrees tonight with a low of 18. Friday, 21 degrees with a low of 5. It's going to snow on Friday. Saturday is 18 degrees with a low of 5. Sunday is 23 degrees. It's cold in Detroit, if you haven't noticed. And so by the time we pull up to Sunday, the high temperature will be 23 with a low of 11. Thank God the sun will be out, right? It's nice. And so how will weather affect the game at Ford Field? Well, Todd Bowles, never someone to show his emotions or, put his heart on his sleeve, Todd Bowles was asked that same question by a reporter. You know, you play in Tampa. You're going up to Michigan. How are you getting ready? This is the whole interaction. Pay attention.
Looking forward towards Detroit. The weather has been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams. Today, it's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures we tend to talk to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right? They got a dome. I don't. No, nothing planned. We're indoors, and we only have to be outside for 20 seconds getting off the bus, going under the thing, so we'll be okay.
Oh, man, ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. There's no other way to, answer that question. I mean, he could have been a complete you-know-what and go, why are you asking me? Damn. That's a tough one. How are you going to prepare for the weather inside? Ouch. And by all reports, the woman who asked this question, her name has not been widely distributed. She's not a sports reporter. The station that she works for, the television station that she works for, as an on-air host, apparently they have cut down on the sports reporters. They don't have one, so they sent her. And this is the type of crap that we get. I mean, she could have did a little bit more research. Well, where do they play? Yeah, they play in Detroit, but has she, you know, there's domes? I mean, does she know that? Ford Field may not necessarily be a dome, but they got a roof. Used to play in a Pontiac Silver Dome. That was a dome. I hurt for that lady. Embarrassed. People are saying that she was a diversity hire. And it's like, okay, y'all are taking it too far now. That's saying a little too much. She wasn't a token hire. I mean, come on now. Give the lady some credit for having her gig and her job. If you want to crap on anybody, crap on the organization that sent her. You can give her some crap, but now you got to call her a DEI hire? That's doing too much. It's terrible. I heard that, though, and I hurt for her a little bit, but she could have done better. And so could the people who employ her. Todd Bowles, you got to give credit to him for not just being a complete fill in the blank. If that were someone like, I don't know, Bill Belichick? Ryan, what would he, next question? He probably would have said the same thing, no, right?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking that same thing. If Bill was there, not Todd Bowles, I think the same exact answer would have been given. We play in the dome, so we got to worry about that 20 feet from the bus to inside. We'll be fine.
You know, I mean, Mike McDaniel might have given more of a, tongue-in-cheek answer. I'm trying to think. Even if Bill Belichick would have been as polite in answering, I don't think we would have had a coach that would have been a a jerk. No, like everybody would have had a little bit of a heart, right?
I'm trying to think who'd be a real jerk there. Not that he's a jerk per se, but he's a tough guy. I feel like Mike Vrabel maybe get pissed if you get him on the wrong day.
You think Mike Vrabel would have hit a what are you talking about? That's a stupid question.
We play in the dome. Get your facts right. Something
maybe.
Like that, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You know who would have said this in the wrong way? You know who would have been a jerk about this? He used to coach in the NFL. Now he's retired from college. Nick Saban. He would have been a jerk. Nick Saban would have been a jerk about it. I know it's a different sport. Jim Boeheim would have been a jerk. Yeah. Jim Boeheim used to crap on his student reporters. Just like, this is somebody getting a degree. Relax. I don't know. I don't know if that is. Is that the dumbest question I've ever heard asked? I don't think so. No. I got to think hard about it.
It's up there.
It is. It's up there, one of the dumbest questions asked. I'm trying to think of cases where, coaches have wanted to punch reporters. Well, LeBron James got at what was that image? Was that 2015, 16? Somebody asked LeBron James something. I think it was the NBA Finals. And he put on his sunglasses, took his suitcase, and walked off of the stage in his suit shorts.
The shorts. Infamous shorts.
But that certainly was one of them up there. Hey, Ak, let me ask you, man. When you think about some of the dumbest questions that have ever been asked, would you rank this one up there as one of the highest? It's like, hey, we play in a dome. Why are you asking me about the weather?
I have to have a disclaimer. Is it non Super Bowl week, or is can we Uh-oh. Divide them up or no?
Throw Super Bowl media week out the window.
Okay.
Because
It's up there. Yeah. But you know what? I really feel for the person because obviously you went through it before. You don't know how much. Like, did they just tell her, we need somebody on the spot, go out there? And it's really tough. Todd Bowles probably handled that as well as he possibly could have. But, man, I just keep hearing that, and I cringe. You just cringe. And it's just, this is where we are now in this business, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it's lack of resources from whoever sent her out there because she's obviously not a sports reporter. And then this is something that will follow her. And just surprisingly, I got to be honest, her name has not been attached to this everywhere. People are just calling her the reporter.
Yeah.
But you know, from her perspective, she is going to remember and feel this for a long time. You don't know how thick her skin is or is not that she was put in this position. She could have looked it up a little bit deeper. It sucks that she's going to remember this, and I'm sure she ain't feeling too good. That part sucks, too.
Yeah. I will say on the flip side, maybe not the flip side, maybe that's the wrong term. I remember a couple of years ago when Herman Edwards was with the Jets, a friend of mine was a one-man band. So, and he was one of those guys, he did the camera, he did the audio, and he did the questions. And he knew stuff, but he knew sports. That was his job. But Herman Edwards just can see how tough it was handling the camera and the mic at the same time with everything. And he went on and on about, can we get somebody to help this guy out? Can we get him another person to come out with him? So, it's the way coaches handle all these things. Again, hats off to Todd Bowles. I don't know how I would have answered that question because you're sitting there, you're trying, you're thinking to yourself, okay, I got to give an answer because there are cameras on me, but I don't want to embarrass this person. How do I politely tell them that it's an indoor game,
Yeah, I think he did as good of a job that you can. It's just like we don't have any weather concerns as we'll be playing inside. Yeah. He could have left. He could have just said it right there. He gave a little bit more than that. But luckily it was Todd Bowles who has the emotions of a, I don't know.
I will say this. I covered Todd Bowles as a player, which dates me, obviously. And his personality has not changed one bit.
Todd was like that when he was out there playing corner?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
Some rough going.
And I just chalked it up to a bad season for the Washington Redskins in 1993, but his personality is the same. So God bless him.
It's pretty wild. I'd be real interested, and I don't think we've gotten that Hard Knocks and that behind the scenes with Todd Bowles. And maybe we have. Maybe I don't remember. He was so boring. He's like a white bread or mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. I want to know what he's like in the background. Like, he got to have some type of emotion. See, you could look at him during a game. You don't know whether they're winning, losing, winning by 50, losing by 50. And I've met...
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
I met Todd Bowles one time on a red carpet. He's the same damn way. It's like, bro, it's like, do you have a pulse? Like, what? He's a nice guy, very nice guy. He's the ultimate poker face. He is the poker face, might as well be. And good on Todd Bowles for not embarrassing that lady. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Shout outs to Todd Bowles for having showcasing a little bit of humanity. When we come back on the other side of the break, unfortunately, I have to share with you something that is a human experience, and unfortunately, that is a death. There's no other way to say it. We're going to talk about an unfortunate passing in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors dealing with the passing of one of their assistant head coaches who's beloved not just in the Bay Area, not just in the NBA, but internationally as well. I'll give you an update on that.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Talked a lot about coaches tonight. Mike McCarthy. Talked about Mike Tomlin. You just heard from Todd Bowles. Unintentionally hilarious. And he showed a whole lot of grace in responding to that reporter who asked him about the weather conditions in Detroit, which most of us know, the Lions, as long as I know, as long as I've watched, they've played indoors, whether it's from the Superdome in my time or the Pontiac Silverdome, excuse me, or we go down to Ford Field, which is downtown across the street from Comerica or whatever the hell they call that thing now. And unfortunately, I had to, just like a lot of folks, you know, take in the news that the NBA lost one of its assistants in a just out of the blue way. The Golden State Warriors lost assistant coach Dejan Milojevic. Okay, he passed away at the age of 46 years old. He just joined the Golden State Warriors coaching staff in 2021. He apparently had a heart attack during one of their team dinners. He was only 46 years old. He was a part of that Warriors squad that won the championship in 2022. He was a big man, a power forward slash center. He played in Serbia, Spain, Montenegro, Turkey, played 14 years basketball professionally. And then he was a coach. He coached in Serbia. He coached someone that you might be familiar with, Nikola Jokic. He won a Montenegro championship. This is someone who is well-traveled, well-known, and well-liked. He isn't someone that I was familiar with, but when you listen to some of the players that he has impacted, it all starts to make sense. I mean, a lot of what we've heard to Nikola Jokic, who he helped coach him into the player that he was before he got into the NBA. He's passed through a lot of folks, players and coaches. Someone here that I'm familiar with, Bogdan Bogdanovic, a shooting guard for the Atlanta Hawks. He had to think about whether or not he even wanted to play last night following his passing. And he was asked about a relationship post-game, and he talked about how Milojevic just really affected his life.
It's a sad thing, you know, to see how much impact he has on a lot of players, people around the world. You know, one thing that I'll never forget, you know, he never chased a career. He's a great player, but he never chased his career, and he always wanted to live in, you know, family lifestyle with his kids in good cities. He never chased money. Like, I feel that's a great example for everyone to live the life.
Yeah, family, right? I mean, we hear a lot of that from Nikola Jokic as well. It's one of the first things. Like, hey, you won a championship. He's like, man, I got to do a parade. I want to go home. And maybe that's one of the reasons that, unfortunately, a lot of what we're hearing about Dejan Milojevic is after his untimely death, it's probably because he didn't chase the spotlight. As Bogdanovich just said, he chased home. He wanted to be with his family. He didn't chase money and accolades. He wanted to be a family man first. Someone else with a relationship is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Darko Rajavic, excuse me, Rajakovic. It's a lot. Last night, his team, the Raptors, just beat Miami 121-97. It was an ass whooping. He decided to, you know, say the game was in honor of Dejan. And then he also said the first play of the game was one that he drew up.
I told my guys that I loved him. And the opening play in the game was ATO that Deki, my friend, I learned that play from him. And that's what he brought to NBA. That's what he brought to Golden State. I stole that play from him. And that was our opening play tonight, and we were able to score on that one. So, you know, I dedicated this team win to our team and to Deki.
Yeah. 46 years old, had a heart attack at lunch. And so their game yesterday, the Golden State Warriors, their game against the Utah Jazz yesterday, that game was postponed. The Golden State Warriors were to play their next game on Friday against the Dallas Mavericks. That game has been postponed. And this news came down the pipe yesterday. And one of the first things I said was, okay, he suffered a medical emergency. Typically, you would lead that to think that he might have had a heart attack, a cardiac arrest, a stroke. And then, you know, they said they were postponing the game. And it kind of stood out to me to just go, why are they postponing the game? I get it. He's sick. Am I heartless? Am I soulless? And then not too long after, we learned that he had passed away, which is something that the NBA was obviously well aware of, and that it was not a good look. Condolences to his family, passing away at 46 years old. And it really is a reminder of you don't know anybody's condition. You don't know what anybody's going through. You don't know anybody's health status. And just a reminder to get checked out if you can, you know, to even if you can't, just, you know, try to be mindful of your own health and fitness and what you're putting in your body, what you're not putting in your body, how often you're doing anything, just to be around as everyone that you've ever heard from. He talked about his family. So condolences to him. I know the Golden State Warriors not having the best of seasons, absolutely having a terrible year, terrible season. Not going to get any better with this news, but we do know there are more important things than sports. And from everything that everybody says, Dejan certainly understood it, and it was family. So condolences to his family and the Golden State Warriors, as this is something that they're going to have to carry throughout the course of the season. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of coaches, this is some NFL news that has come down the pipe. I am not all that shocked and surprised. The Chargers have interviewed Mike Vrabel for their open head coaching vacancy. If I were the Spanos family, who unfortunately the family cannot make a mutual decision to save their lives. They're suing each other over who controls the franchise and who doesn't get a say-so. you hire Mike Vrabel. You give him whatever the hell that he wants. I've said for a long time, a couple of months now, month, couple of weeks, couple of days, that if you're the Chargers and you're Bill Belichick, that Bill Belichick is probably the best option to bring them in. Well, apparently Bill Belichick has another interview scheduled with the Atlanta Falcons. It's been reported that he sat down with owner Arthur Blank, and now they're moving on to the next step to consummate their marriage by having Bill Belichick sit down and meet with President Rich McKay, as well as general manager of the Falcons, Terry Fontenot. So a few more dates, if I can call it such. But the Chargers, moving on from Brandon Staley, someone who didn't know what a clock was, to just interviewing Mike Vrabel, I don't see what could go wrong. I think Mike Vrabel, between he and Belichick, and then you can also throw Harbaugh out there, they're the best candidates that are probably currently available here that are brand names with success in the NFL. I think it's as simple as that. If I were to plug in some of the more prominent spots and positions right now for a head coach, and I know I gave you my top six list last night, it appears that Bill Belichick is going to end up here in Atlanta. I don't think it's the best of moves, but it looks like it's going to happen. I would go ahead and place Jim Harbaugh, throw him right to hell with the Raiders. Misery loves company. I think he'd have a good old time running things for Mr. Mark Davis. And I think Vrabel would be in a prime position with a quarterback, someone that we know can throw the football, in Justin Herbert. And the way that we've seen a lot of their games end over the past, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years, whether it be Anthony Lynn or whether it be Brandon Staley, who just got the boot, I don't think we're going to have any concerns with Mike Vrabel when it comes down to preparation and certainly clock management. This man has manipulated the clock in ways that I've never seen before, utilizing penalties and such just to go out there and win football games. Mike Vrabel having an interview with the Los Angeles Chargers. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to talk more about Mike Vrabel, more about these coaching opportunities. I told you about Bill Belichick getting another chance and another opportunity to sit down with the Falcons. And one thing about coaches, they want to dictate and run everything, right? Sometimes they want to dictate things to the other team and their players. I'm going to explain something that went down last night between Texas and Central Florida. You decide if what took place is classless. I'll explain here on CBS Sports Radio.